Welcome back to another edition of the Disney Dish Podcast with Jim Hill. It's me, Lantesta, and this is your bonus December episode for iTunes. And just like everyone wants something under their Christmas stocking, your Christmas stocking includes one Mr. Jim Hill. Jim, how's it going?
I'm covered with needles, Len. What am I doing under a tree?
It was either that or you could get the formaldehyde and asbestos ones that come from China. Your call.
You know, you're supposed to put water in this thing, right?
By the way, have you ever seen a Christmas tree burn?
Oh.
It's like the Hindenburg looks like slow in comparison.
Yeah.
For those of you that have never seen the joy of burning a Christmas tree, they burn in about 30 seconds, the entire tree. Especially a good dried out one. It's one of the fastest flames that you can see. Definitely make sure your light bulbs are unplugged before you leave your Christmas tree. And speaking of Christmas, let's talk about Hawaii.
Very smooth segue there, Lynn.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. So this is a continuation of our unbuilt Disney talk that we did back in November in New York City. The research comes out of the Buzz Price Archives at the University of Central Florida. Thank you guys at the University of Central Florida. And today we're going to talk about a Discovery Bay. Now, when I originally thought about this, when I originally read this, Jim, I thought it was a resort development. They were going to build some hotels. But it was way more than that, wasn't it?
This is from the period of Disney. Felt like they'd filled the American market with material, except there was Hawaii, which actually sat between the two places that had Disney parks. We could grab tourists from both Japan and the mainland. So it was a big question of what could we build there and what's affordable.
Right. So speaking of affordability, two things. One, we're talking about $1987 dollars here. Mm-hmm. But in terms of affordability, we all know that Aulani, so Disney's timeshare resort, is on the island of Oahu, which is fairly expensive real estate as far as things go. Here, the area that they were looking for was the northwest corner of the island of Hawaii, which was, I guess, vastly less expensive. And the reason why it was vastly less expensive is there's not a whole lot there, even today, right?
No, God, no. I guess from stateside terms, when you think about how small the islands actually are, and yet, one of the complaints is like, oh, Aulani is so far away. It's such a long drive. And it's like 10 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 20. Depending on the traffic. So the big thing is Hawaii does have, oddly enough, an interstate highway system. A little strange.
Yep.
And it's only busy, like, you know, in the morning and the evening. But during the day, it's absolutely fine. Maybe, you know, 20, 25 minutes. You know, some of the secondary roads are more crowded. But yeah, it's not a bad drive at all. So back in 87, Disney wanted to develop something called the Waikeola Resort, Waikeola, Waikeola. And this was going to be like, what, 5,000-6,000 rooms, just a lot of people, 6,000 hotel rooms over a series of phases. But they were concerned about the hotel needing something else to attract people to the island of Hawaii. So they call in Buzz Price, and this is where we get the documents from, right? So they bring in Buzz Price, and they say, look, you know, we want to develop a resort. The least expensive way to do it is on the island of Hawaii because it's not particularly developed right now. And again, the northwest corner of it is effectively the middle of nowhere. They bring in Buzz to do the analysis. And the thing that I love is Buzz's handwritten note that he puts at the very beginning of this folder. And he's talking about all the reasons why Disney shouldn't build a resort. And this is, again, handwritten note, paperclipped to the beginning. It says the negatives for this are high repeat educated tourists, people go to the Polynesian Cultural Center, and few other attractions. People really go to Hawaii for sun, surf, sand, sex, etc. it's just this beautiful, you know, blunt assessment that Buzz does. By the way, other than sun, surf, sand, and sex, what's the etc.? You know, if Buzz was alive, we would ask him, what do you mean here in this etc., Buzz?
I think it's fruited drinks, if I'm not mistaken. Knowing Buzz, it involved rum.
So the other handwritten notes that he has, and he's sort of sketching out what he thinks is going to be the basis for this, the good parts of this resort. And again, handwritten notes, this is what he's jotting down when he's getting his first impressions of Hawaii. You should build it around a lagoon. You could call it Captain Nemo's Landlocked Lagoon, which is what he wrote there. There should be, quote, a pleasure island like old Lanai with a 1930s period hotel themed after something like the Pan Am Clipper. And so that was the old float planes, right? With the old...
Yeah, and again, you can actually walk down to the pool area at the Royal Pacific at Universal Orlando, and they have the Clipper basically sitting.
They have the Clipper
right there. Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, that's, so they... what I love about what Buzz did is that so often it was just sort of like, this thing you should do. Somebody does. Sometimes it takes decades, but they do it.
But it gets done. I do like the Royal Pacific, actually. I think it's a, you know, I think it's a moderate hotel, at least the rooms that I've stayed in over at Universal Orlando, but still not bad. All, the other thing that Buzz talks about, a Western town with a hula review, a barbecue, and in parentheses, he has for Japanese tourists. Also a petroglyph park, which I guess is dinosaurs, and then a theater. So let's talk about what they wanted to do here. We have a memo. It's titled Discovery Bay, where you discover lost adventures in paradise.
So many people journey to Hawaii. In fact, 20 years later, we get Alani, which embraces Hawaiian culture to the point where you walk through that hotel, there's that wonderful bar where you're surrounded by the Hawaiian language.
And the funniest thing is, Jim, you get people drunk and have them start sounding out the words. It is built-in entertainment. It's a vowel-centric language.
Oh, God, yeah.
Page one of this memo outlines four areas for Discovery Bay's offerings to tourists. Natural, historical, man and nature. So I guess man and nature interacting. Mm-hmm. And then sports. So under natural, there are things like reefs, beaches, volcanoes, grottos and ferns, waterfalls, canyons, lagoons, birds, dolphins, and fish, the usual stuff. Under historical, Captain Cook, did he die in Hawaii, by the way?
Well,
we're going to gloss over this.
That's
okay.
Right.
Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Okay. Plantation, Voyager / Polynesian. I think this is some sort of Kon-Tiki thing. Whaling, maybe not now, we wouldn't do that. Early resort, flying boats, quote, colonial towns, Old Waikiki and Hawaiian royalty. And again, they expand on these ideas we'll talk about. Under man and nature, so I guess this is agriculture stuff and assorted related things. Pineapples, sugarcane, orchids, but it actually means orchards. Cattle ranching, taro fields, ancient fish ponds, quote, grass shack, unquote. Dorothy L'Amour. Jim?
Look, Buzz meant well, but sometimes his references come from Bob Hope and Crosby movies.
Okay, so Dorothy L'Amour is who?
She is the third wheel of the road pictures.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the Bob Hope, Big Crosby movies.
You know, in the title song to On the Road to Morocco, there's actually a line that Bob turns to Bing at one point and says, I'll give you 3 to 5 that at some point we meet Dorothy L'Amour. I mean, it's just sort of, she was always... She was always in those movies, so it's just very lovely woman of the 1940s.
All right. She's actually name-checked by Buzz Price, which is pretty impressive. So under sports, they've got skin diving and snorkeling, surfing, outrigger canoes, sailing and boating, fishing, quote, exercising, unquote, which I love, hang gliders, etc. I would love to see Disney do hang gliders. Also hiking, horseback riding, and golf and tennis. So let's talk about this in more detail.
Okay.
Under the attractions, they have listed a Volcano Lagoon Water Park and a Never Never Land Kids Paradise. Now, they actually do a little bit of this in Alani. They've got an actual volcano that is a water slide with a small snorkeling area. So they kind of built this. Was this for Discovery Bay going to be something different?
You have to remember that we are 2 years out from Typhoon Lagoon opening. So they are working on this tropical-themed water park. And Eisner is always a guy where it's like, well, we're doing that. Can we take some of that and put that over there? For the longest time, this portion of the Discovery Bay project, they were in parallel with Typhoon Lagoon. Here's Disney building this giant wave machine that, in fact, Dick Nunes was so excited about because, again, he'd had his wave machine out in, the Seven Seas Lagoon that it had only operated for a while. And yet, here's Hawaii, which could provide its own waves.
Right.
but that was the issue. It was like, well, if we're going to have them swim in the sea, you know, things could get in and bite them or, you know, that sort of thing.
So it would have to be enclosed in the lagoon where it's safe and
there
whatnot.
We go.
Discovery Island, birds, animals, and waterfalls. That sounds similar to...
Discovery Island.
Discovery Island.
At this point, we're a full 10 years out from Animal Kingdom. I mean, Rhodey didn't really propose that till after the studio got going and they were looking for a fourth gate, but they had only just done a lot of the work to turn Treasure Island into Discovery Island back in 76.
All right, personal islands. I'm guessing here that this would end up being some sort of man-made type thing, but they mentioned specifically grass shacks and, quote, Tannin, T-A-N-N-I-N apostrophe.
You know that's the bungalows, right?
No, is that what that is? So they're going to do bungalows. I forgot to mention that I saw the construction at Wilderness Lodge last time.
Did you? Oh, wow. Okay. What did you think?
So the interesting thing, they learned from the Polynesian by not putting the bungalows directly in front of the rest of the hotel. Mm-hmm. Imagine you're at the Wilderness Lodge and you go out to the boat docks, right? The cottages are far to your left now. So in other words, if you're standing in the pool or on the, you know, in the middle of the resort itself, you can't see the cottages. You literally have to go around the corner to the left to see the cottages. And you can also see them if you're on Bay Lake. And the interesting thing there is, this is the wilderness, so you're supposed to feel more remote, and you would in these bungalows. There's probably a shorter walking path to get you back to the main resort, but it's definitely less visually intrusive than what you got at the Polynesian. And they actually look pretty. You can see them on the monorail when you're going from the parking lot through on the way to Contemporary. They look better. I think visually they're going to be much better. I'm still interested to see the price points on these.
I heard horticulture has been tasked with sort of creating plant space between the bungalow. I mean, I guess that's the one complaint about the ones at the Polys. They're literally right next to one another, and for that price point, you shouldn't be able to smell your next-door neighbor's cologne?
You know, I didn't look for that. So when I go next week or whatever, I'll go back and check.
Okay.
Back to attractions. The next one is Aqua Lark's Autopia. So Autopia we know as the car, small car racing thing. Aqua Lark's makes it sound like water? Are we doing boats
here?
Well,
yes and no. What Buzz was trying to recreate here, he was trying to sell them the notion of Hawaii was at its most glamorous to travelers, really in that 1930s, early 1940s. And so, well, what if we did an Autopia, but it was the classic Woody cars from the...
But
you had a longboard hanging out of it. I've seen one iteration of this where there was a miniature golf course that was supposed to sort of overlap with this.
Oh, that'd be hysterical.
You know, but the notion is you'd be driving by and the volcano would go off because somebody just sunk a putt in the miniature volcano.
That's great. Okay, cool. I like the idea of interspersing an Autopia with a miniature golf course, too. That actually sounds like not a bad idea. Next two things under attractions. One of them is a simulator, and he has three bullet points. Historical, underwater 3D, and Volcano EXP. And I don't know if EXP stands for exploration, explosion, but Volcano Exp. What was going on there?
Okay. January 7th, 1987, Star Tours has just opened at Disneyland.
Now
everybody in the company is looking at that and I want in. These are basically three bullet points. They were exploring a bunch of ideas. One of them was actually sort of combined. The two was going to be called Nemo's Lava Cruiser. Because this project didn't go forward, but people were so excited about the Nemo Lava Cruiser idea, it actually wound up being reused for the Disney Seas project or the Port Disney thing Disney was going to do at Long Beach.
When you say Nemo here, you mean Captain Nemo, not the
The 20,000 League Stink Pump. In fact, when Buzz used the, why don't we do the enclosed bay, Nemo's hidden base, or that sort of thing, that really actually made it into the Port Disney, Disney Seas. The Disney recycling cycle sometimes is really, really short.
All right, fair enough. So that's that. Then the next thing was natural biomes. They've got tropical environments, an aviary, which you'd see later on in Animal Kingdom, and then fern grottos. Fern grottos, by the way, I don't know if you know this, is Hugh Hefner's stage name when he's in the...
We're going to get in trouble for that one. Actually, the, right. The biodomes idea, when Tony Baxter was putting together the plans for the land, that was the term back when the land was going to be a balloon ride, and you were literally supposed to pass through various different biodomes. That didn't go forward.
All right. Under activities, we have the Waterfront Town. This was, I think, supposed to be their Pleasure Island thing. Later on in the memo, there are documents that referred to things like the old Lanai Courthouse, which was established in 1859, and it gives you sort of this period architecture.
Oh, very much so. Pleasure Island is in development right now at this exact same time.
Right.
Won't open for 2 years, but that's a sail factory. So the thinking was that, okay, so we do the same thing. We take a, you know, do a cannery setup.
And, right.
You know, so you come down into this environment that has the feel of authenticity, but mm-hmm. has your places to shop, has your bar, has your restaurant. Because, again, the Disney store was just getting out of the ground as well during this period. So it's, hey, you want plush? You can get plush.
And they were going to do, so again, it's a small collection of nightclubs, retail, and restaurants.
There you go.
Speaking of restaurants, the next one, Nemo's Underwater Restaurant. And here, again, when we say Nemo, we mean Captain Nemo, not the
fish. And again, that's Discovery Bay from Disneyland. That's the plan that Tony Baxter put together. You'd come around the Rivers of America, and there'd be a full-size version of the Nautilus sitting there in the water, a 200-foot-long, you know, submarine. It's supposed to be the most elegant dining experience at a Disney theme park. This version was this beautiful restaurant where you'd sit in front of those giant windows on the Nautilus and look out at this amazing collection of tropical fish or that sort of thing. But again, this is literally taking something that, you know, had been proposed for Disneyland in 75, 76 and dropping it into a plan for 87.
And they had already done one underwater restaurant in the Coral Reef, right?
Yeah.
Coral Reef. That, yeah, I was just there Friday. By the way, the food there was better than I expected.
Oh, okay. Good to hear.
So going back to the waterfront town, actually, there's a little bit more detail on the next page of this memo, talking about the specific offerings. But you're right, though. I mean, there's an adventures club, because I guess in 87, they're getting ready to open Pleasure Island. There's a disco. Mm-hmm. There's a, quote, Royal Pineapple Club Comedy Club. So, yeah, this is pretty much the lineup of Pleasure Island. There's also the Neon Peniolo, which is a Hawaii Country Western Club. So, literally, it was every kind of club that was in Pleasure Island with a Hawaiian theme. Also, a treehouse restaurant and a, quote, a simulator experience.
Again, Eisner walks through the building. One of those. Okay, moving on.
All right, back to the activities. So they have this something in quotes called Road to Discovery Bay. Under boats, we've got sunken wrecks, canoes, and outriggers. And actually, you see the sunken wrecks idea done in Castaway Key on the Disney Cruise Line, right? They've taken some ships. The Sugar Train Experience and Transportation. Now, Jim, I used to live in downtown Miami, and to me, the Sugar Train Experience meant
man,
something
family
completely
audience,
different.
Family audience.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. If you drill down into Disney World's history, the trains, for example, that were brought to the Florida resort were actually used to haul sugar in the cane in South America. This was going to be your transportation loop that would get you around the resort.
Oh. Okay, so next thing was Animal Preserve with Animals of the World. And I wonder how they would get this, if they proposed this today, how they would get this past the government of the state of Hawaii, because invasive species are, I'm told, a huge problem in Hawaii. So this would probably not fly.
Well, this is really Discovery Cove at SeaWorld. But, you know, that was the issue as I understood it. Was that, okay, so they get to play with the animals of Hawaii. It's like, okay, well, here's all five of them, and most of them bite.
All right, a couple of other things. An artist colony, and underneath it, underlined, are the words Imagineering Retreat. So I guess this is sort of like the NFL Pro Bowl. You would tell Imagineers that they did a good job, and in return for doing the good job, they get to go to Hawaii and have tourists watch them while they work. Congratulations, you did a great job. Go to Hawaii and do it again.
Tokyo Disneyland had opened in 1983. It's the most successful park anywhere. And so Disney is anxious to expand that park. But the problem was, for so many Imagineers, was you have to go to the other side of the world. You don't speak the language. You have to understand the word retreat actually means something different when this project. It meant that basically you could retreat from Japan and go back to something that had a feeling of the States.
A little inside joke in the
yeah, document. I mean, they hadn't even opened the studio at this point, and they were already pushing Tokyo to the Oriental Land Company executives, like, you want a studio. You really want a studio. And so, yeah, this was going to be the sort of, you could go back there, you know, from dealing with the Oriental Land executives, you know, regroup and then head back.
It was going to be the halfway
there
house.
There we go. That's
fantastic.
Right. So.
A couple of other things. High-tech laboratories, and then in quotes below that is, quote, discovery labs. So I guess this is sort of like meet the wonderful creatures of the sea, meet the native species of Hawaii, look at the landscape.
Well, they used the phrase Discovery Bay, so that the notion was discovery means different things. If you are trying to create programs for the kids who are staying in the hotels, you know, you can go out and discover, you can visit the biodomes. The one challenge here was that Disney was trying to make a Venn diagram here, because they were looking at the number of tourists who came over from Japan to go to Hawaii, and they were trying right. to also lure people from the States, and it was like, can we do programs in two different languages?
It's one of the things that we noticed quite a bit at Aulani, that virtually all of the signs are in both English and in Japanese, mm-hmm. and all the major announcements are in English and Japanese.
It does get challenging. It means in some situations you have to double up on staff, or you have to
right.
you know, you have to pay a premium to get staffers who can speak English and Japanese.
And again, if you're doing that in Hawaii, I mean, again, Hawaii is a huge destination for both Americans and Japanese tourists. But still, anytime you're asking for a special mm-hmm. skill, the price goes up. All right, so a couple other things. Hyperion Blimp and Disco Hangar. That's under the things to do. I guess this is, again, Pleasure mm-hmm. Island. A lighthouse. And then ships. Mm-hmm. The Columbia, the Nautilus, and excursion boats. The Columbia, I guess, is a requirement for every Disney theme park. You must have a Columbia.
Trying to sort of embrace that sort of Herman Melville feel without actually getting into the whole whaling thing. So it's like, all right, well, so it's the Columbia. Or, you know, some sort of equivalent of a trimasted schooner. Where the sure. Nautilus, again, in theory, you're building this for your sort of your point for the lava cruiser simulator experience and the Nemo Grand Salon dining. And what was the third one?
The third one was excursion boats, and we'll talk about that in the next one. So when on the next page where they're talking about major attractions, we've kind of touched on the lagoon offerings and the waterfront mm-hmm. offerings. The under the Western Town, mm-hmm. though, a couple of things I want to highlight here. One was a barbecue on the mm-hmm. beach. Another one was a rodeo. So barbecue on the beach, that's sort of, I mean, they do Mickey's Backyard Barbecue mm-hmm. over at Fort Wilderness. Mm-hmm. The one that I think is interesting is the Hoop-Dee-Doo Hula Review. This is one of those things where it's like, oh, well, we've already got a Western thing over at Fort Wilderness. Why don't we just have hula skirts and we're set?
There was actually a film that the company made with James Garner in 1974 called The Castaway Cowboy. And it was basically about a real cowboy going over to Hawaii. They had just started, you know, raising beef on the island, and they needed people with those sort of. So this was literally Disney taking a chunk of its own history and sort of like, okay, this thing that actually happened in history, I mean, a really for real thing, then allows us to bring Western culture with a Hawaiian bend to it to the island. So you could get that. Everybody got to be a castaway cowboy. They got their rattan cowboy hat, and they got to eat Hawaiian-grown beef down by the beach. And again, the hoop-de-doo, but with a hula bend on it. And that could have been a lot of fun.
I'm thinking this is a great plot for season 3 of Westworld. All right. So let's talk, Jim, about this. Obviously this doesn't get built. Discovery Bay, as we've been talking about it for the last 35 minutes, doesn't get mm-hmm. built. Why doesn't it get built?
There's a number of reasons. As happens with the Japanese economy every now and then, there was a correction during this period.
Oh, that's right. In fact, they're technically still
yeah.
in it,
yeah.
right? This is like the 25-year lost generation. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the bubble or whatever it was that collapsed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they went through like all of the 90s, all of the 2000s were with essentially no growth mm-hmm. and no inflation. It was essentially just the economy stalled for 2 decades. People have written paper.
Yeah, and it's one of these situations where you're building a table, you know, that you need the three solid, at least the three solid legs. And, you know, they mm-hmm. knew that Hawaii already had tourism. In fact, that's ultimately what led to Aulani. You know, there was a belief the Disney name would be strong enough to get people to get on a plane and go over to Hawaii for a Disney-specific experience that celebrated Hawaii. But they needed to know that Hawaii, you know, that the Japanese tourists would in fact come. And when there was that financial collapse, it's just sort of like, we can hold on this.
So Disney ends up building Aulani, mm-hmm. and having been there, I know that they've got this like little pie slice of land in the lagoon to their, if you're looking out at the lagoon, to the right now is a Four Seasons, to the left is a huge Marriott property. Mm-hmm. Is there any chance that Disney owns any more land in Hawaii beyond the ones that we've
The weird thing is that they have done some expansion at Aulani, if I'm not mistaken, right? That there was an additional tower built, or
it's pretty big, but I don't know if I'm not that up on the history.
Okay, but the thing with Aulani is Disney still feels like they're learning the resort, they're learning the business over there, and it was only when they opened it that they began to hear that, well, you know, you're on the wrong side of the island, you're too far of a drive. And, you know, they've been working to try to overcome that, but so many of the tools that they thought were in the draw, whether it was, you know, we'll send the cruise ship out there, it's like, well, no, maybe you won't.
So they docked in Honolulu, mm-hmm. and that's how I ended up at Aulani after a Hawaiian cruise. You know, it's kind of funny. Laurel and I were talking about this in the context of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. We were staying up north side for our mm-hmm. talk in New York, and, you know, she wanted to go somewhere, and it was like 6 blocks away. I'm like, dude, I am not walking 6 blocks. You know, whereas, you know, it's the same thing in Hawaii. Oh, my God, it's a 20-minute drive halfway across the island. Yeah, but it's a small island, but it's 20 minutes across the you know, nobody wants to do it.
Yeah, and you can sit in, you know, a conference room in Glendale and go, okay, we're here. This is perfect. And it's like, no, you know, if you're on the ground there and you're in that vacation mindset or that travel mindset.
Yeah, you don't want to get in a car and go half an hour or whatever, 20 minutes. Yeah, you just don't. That's a shame.
Disney is not walking away from Aulani.
No, it's their best resort. Every decent idea that they've ever had, you can find an example of it in Aulani. It is by far their nicest resort. There. All right, folks. You've been listening to the Disney Dish Podcast with Jim Hill. This was our special bonus iTunes episode for December. We are produced fabulously, I might add, by Santa's own elf himself, one Mr. Aaron Adams. Please go onto iTunes and Stitcher and rate our show and tell us what you would like to hear next. We love those comments. Keep them coming. For Jim, this is Len. We will see you on the next show.
Take care, guys.